Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Local people, local stories. This is the WBBM All Local from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The latest figures indicate Chicago City Council staffers have the lowest rate of reporting their vaccination status of any other group in city government. That includes the police department. An update this morning from WBBM's Bernie Tafoya.
Just over 84% of the 356 people who work for Chicago's 50 aldermen have told the city if they're vaccinated against COVID. More than 89% of Chicago Police Department employees have reported their status. Chicago aldermen themselves do not fall under the city's vaccination reporting mandate, but their employees do. And 46th Ward Alderman James Kappelman tells CBS 2.
It's embarrassing. I mean, we're supposed to be the leaders in all this.
Kappelman says all of his employees have reported whether they're vaccinated. In fact, nearly 95% of all city employees have complied. Of the city's 30,000-plus employees, more than 29,000 have reported. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Chicago aldermen will consider a 2% tax on sports betting, which would be on top of taxes already imposed by the state and Cook County.
Mayor Lightfoot has said the city must pay for infrastructure work related to sports betting facilities in and around five city stadiums and sports arenas, as well as for what she called regulatory oversight. The Sun-Times reports the tax has not eased concerns from the owners of Rush Street Gaming, which is one of two separate groups that hope to build a Chicago casino, and worries sports betting in the city would take away revenue from a city casino. The city sports betting tax would be in addition to levies of 2% from Cook County and 15% from the state. Jim Goodis, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Sheriff's police say a man being held in the Kendall County Jail this morning tried to hire a hitman to kill a judge and police officer.
Michael Swift allegedly made arrangements with an undercover officer to murder the judge and police officer because of their role in the case that landed him in the Kendall County Jail. That's according to the Kendall County Sheriff's Office, which says the 30-year-old man from Mokena now faces solicitation of murder charges. Swift was already charged in the April murder of his ex-girlfriend. A sheriff spokesman tells WBBM they notified the judge and police officer immediately after learning Swift was trying to hire other inmates to murder them. Swift has been moved to the McHenry County Jail. Nancy Hardy, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
King County health officials sounding the alarm about a product recall.
The county health department says International Golden Foods of Bensonville is voluntarily recalling certain jars of the Alkanator brand tahini sesame paste due to potential contamination with salmonella. The products were distributed nationwide, and issues were first reported following testing by the Michigan Department of Agriculture. While no illnesses have been reported in relation to the product, anyone who may have purchased the tahini is being urged to contact the store they bought it from. Andy Dane, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
City of Chicago set for a major expansion of affordable housing. WBBM political editor Craig Delamore reports on the initiative from the Lightfoot administration.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot's outlined a number of affordable housing initiatives this week, two dozen to be exact, and many are on the south and west sides. And the mayor says one big project is not just about housing affordability, but also countering fears of gentrification in that community.
In collaboration with Alderman Sixto Lopez, who is here with us, we're announcing the acquisition of more than 6 acres of land at 18th and Peoria in the heart of Pilsen. And we will be preserving that space for a minimum of 280 affordable housing units that our residents can call home.
And the mayor says the housing department has approved tax credits to support $1 billion worth of investments across the city. Craig Delamore, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Jussie Smollett is back on the witness stand at his trial this morning. Yesterday, he testified about a key piece of evidence in the case.
In their case, prosecutors said a still from a surveillance camera shows Smollett with the noose that he says his assailants put around his neck draped around his shoulders instead. On the stand, Smollett said the noose indeed was on his neck, but on the way home, he decided to remove it. But he says when he got to his apartment, a friend who was there told him he had called police and told him to put it back on so the officers could see it. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Residents of Chicago community have teamed up to stop a suspected thief. It's believed the person's been stealing packages from porches and houses on the border of Duquesne Village in Humboldt Park for years.
It was kind of a sense of like accomplishment from my neighbors when looking at them, because I know it's been a problem for a while.
That's Eric Berkey, who witnessed his neighbors grabbing the suspect, holding him down until police arrived. The alleged crook had been seen in person and spotted on surveillance video, but he managed to elude capture until now. Republicans in Wisconsin are calling for action against the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, submitting a low bail request for a man accused of killing six at a parade in Waukesha.
Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm says a $1,000 bail recommendation for Darryl Brooks Jr. was inappropriately low. The low bail controversy came 5 days before prosecutors say Brooks drove his SUV through a parade route in Waukesha last month, killing five adults and a child and injuring about 60 other people. Chisholm told the Journal Sentinel that the DA who submitted the low bail request did not have Brooks's risk assessment before she did that because it had not been uploaded into the case management system. Keith Johnson, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A North Suburban state lawmaker thinks those who are eligible for COVID shots but refuse to get them should assume every risk that goes along with that decision.
State Representative Jonathan Carroll of Northbrook proposes that aside from those who have legitimate medical reasons for not getting COVID vaccinations, anyone who chooses to go unvaccinated should have to pay their own bills should they wind up in the hospital with COVID. In other words, no insurance coverage for them. Carroll says COVID is now a pandemic of the unvaccinated and that the unvaxxed should assume all the risk. Federal law, though, prohibits cutting off insurance coverage for COVID diagnosis. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Federal investigators will not bring charges against the white woman who claimed Emmett Till grabbed her and has closed its reinvestigation of the Chicago teen's 1955 lynching.
The FBI says Carolyn Bryant Donham denied she recanted her statements about Emmett Till's actions inside a Mississippi store, and their investigators found insufficient evidence she confessed to an author, as he claimed she did, 4 years ago. Cousin Thelma Wright Edwards says her heart is broken since Till was like a brother to her.
I have no hate in my heart, but I had hope that we could get an apology.
Reverend Wheeler Parker Jr. witnessed two men take his cousin in the middle of the night 66 years ago.
I suffered tremendously because of the way that they painted him.
In light of the news, relatives focused on the positive push for justice championed by Till's mother, the late Mamie Till Mobley. Nancy Hardy, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Applications are now open for the second round of the Illinois Rental Payment Program, first announced in October.
The governor's office says the program will provide an additional $297 million to renters and landlords in an effort to prevent evictions and keep families secure while they regain their financial footing. It's the third major housing relief initiative in response to the pandemic. The program provides direct funding to support Illinois tenants unable to pay their rent due to a COVID-19-related loss of income. Applications will be accepted beginning today through January 9th. The additional funding is expected to assist more than 30,000 Illinois households. Bob Conway, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
That's the WBBM All Local, updated multiple times a day. But for the latest news, traffic, weather, sports, and business, listen live to WBBM anytime by asking your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio. You can also listen to WBBMNewsRadio.com, on the Odyssey app, and of course, on the radio. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.